those he trusts the most. That means me and you. What about Lieutenant DeGusta? The lieutenant was helping him and got shot in the heart for his trouble. Not dead, but badly injured. Constance started visibly. That's right. I told you events have spiraled out of control. Pendergast is in over his head, and he's in terrible danger. So I took the only steps I could to contact you. I pretended to have knowledge of you and your case. Obviously, it was all a ruse. Constance continued to stare at him. The hostility had largely disappeared, but uncertainty remained. I'm going to figure out a way to get you out of here. Meanwhile, please continue to deny knowing me. Or you could feign a growing recollection, whatever you feel more comfortable with. Just play along. All I ask is that you help me get you out of here, because we're almost out of time. Pendergast needs your quick mind, your instincts, and your research skills, and every hour counts. You can't imagine, and I haven't the time at present to explain, the forces that are now arrayed against him. Constance continued staring, her face a mixture of suspicion, concern, and indecision. Better to leave her now, let her mull it all over. Esterhazy turned and rapped lightly on the door. Dr. Ostrom, Dr. Felder, we can go now. Chapter 49. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The 18th hole at Palmetto Spray Golf Links was one of the most infamous on the East Coast. A par 5, 560-yard drive with a wicked dogleg and a half a dozen wide bunkers tightly bracketing the fairway. Meyer Weiss rolled his wheelchair up to the tee, plucked the blanket from his ruined legs, grabbed the crutches that hung from his golf bag, and hoisted himself up to a standing position, locking the joints on his leg braces. "Mind if I give you some more advice?" Aloysius Pendergast slid his borrowed golf bag to the ground. "If you'd be so kind." "It's a long hole, but we've got the wind to our backs. I usually try for a controlled fade. With luck, it puts you on the right of the fairway and sets you up for the green in two." I am, alas, a skeptic when it comes to the concept of luck. The old man rubbed his sunburned forehead and chuckled. "I always like to play around before getting down to any kind of business. Tells me all I need to know about my partner. Now, I've noticed improvement on your last few holes. Just remember to follow through on your swing, like I showed you." Grabbing his driver, Weiss stumped over to the tee. Bracing himself on the crutches, he drew the club back, then swung it down in a perfect arc. The ball shot into the air with a crack, curving gracefully to the right and out of sight beyond the fringe of trees. Pendergast watched, then turned to Weiss. "No luck in that shot." Weiss slapped the crutches and braces. "I've had plenty of years with these things to perfect it." Pendergast stepped up to the tee, lined up his driver, and took the shot. The club impacted the ball with too open a face, and what was meant as a fade turned into something more like a slice. The older man shook his head, clucking in sympathy, but hardly able to conceal his delight.
"May have to go searching for that one."
Pendergast thought for a moment and then asked, "I suppose you wouldn't consider allowing me a mulligan?" He already knew the answer, but was curious to hear Weiss's reaction.
"Mr. Pendergast, you surprise me. I wouldn't have pegged you for the mulligan type at all."
The ghost of a smile lingered on Pendergast's face as Weiss eased himself back into the wheelchair while unlocking the leg braces. His heavily muscled arms propelled him along, almost shooting him forward along the gravel path. It was a facet of the Nazi hunter's forceful personality that he spurned the luxury of a golf cart, preferring to wheel himself over the course. It had been a long 18 holes, but he showed no sign of fatigue. As they made their way down the fairway and around the dog leg, their balls came into view. Weiss's lined up nicely for a shot to the green, Pendergast's in a sand trap beside the fringe, Weiss shook his head again.
Your Honor.
Pendergast took a calculating stroll around the bunker, then knelt beside the ball, estimating the trajectory to the pin. He waited for Weiss to issue his recommendation.
If I were you, I'd choose the lob wedge, Weiss said after a moment. It's more forgiving than the pitching wedge.
Pendergast rummaged through the set of pings, took out the wedge, lined himself up gingerly, took a few practice swings, and then, with a huge spray of sand, hit the ball. The ball moved about 2 feet up the side of the bunker. Weiss tut-tutted.
Don't think about it too much. Try to imagine the feel of the shot physically before you swing.
Pendergast lined himself up again. This time he hit a more controlled chip shot that seemed to go long, but with heavy backspin, landed with barely a roll on the backside of the green.
Mazel tov, Weiss cried, beaming.
Pure luck, I'm afraid, said Pendergast.
Ah, but you said you didn't believe in luck. No, you followed my suggestion, and now you see the excellent result.
Selecting a 7-iron, Weiss chipped his ball to within 10 feet of the pin. Pendergast, at 20 feet, missed his first 2 putts, then holed out for a bogey. Weiss 1-putted for a final eagle. Pendergast marked it and handed the scorecard to Weiss.
You shot a 69. My congratulations.
It's my home course, and I'm sure if you follow some of those tips I mentioned, you'd improve quickly. You have a natural golfer's physique. Now, let us talk.
The formality of the game completed, they repaired to his house just off the tee box of the 15th hole. The two men sat on the patio while Heidi, Weiss's wife, brought them a pitcher of mint juleps.
And so to business, Weiss said in a rare mood, pouring out the drinks and raising his glass. So, you have come.